Today I'm going to be talking about rekindling the fire. Rekindle the fire. That's what I'm going to talk about. But for you to understand it more, it is how to restore your passion and your joy in the Lord after a season of dryness. That's what I'm going to be talking about. When things go down, just like we were all locked down for a couple of months, how do you get your passion back? How do you get your zeal back? How do you get your fire? Sometimes it's not a lockdown. The lockdown helps some people. For me, my spiritual life went up during the lockdown. Why? Because I had more time to pray. And so in the middle of the day, every day, at 1 o'clock, I stop everything I'm doing and I go and I pray. I just enjoy doing it in the middle of the day because I could do it now. I'm going nowhere. I was home all through. And so my spiritual life went up during the lockdown. So the lockdown is not what brings down one's spiritual life. It's just circumstances of life, different ones. And so for some, you discover that you have been cold. I'm going to show you how to get back on track. Hallelujah. And then we're going to practice whatever I'm going to share with you. And then that will be it. And then we'll pray for Healing Springs Church, pray for the leadership, and have a party after. All right. How long do we have for that? We have 45 minutes to do this session. About 45 minutes. Good. I like hearing that so that people can know that it's not going to be beyond that. You can focus. 45 minutes. Just give me full attention. All right? Now, question I have for you. When someone says somebody's on fire for God, what does that look like? I know sometimes we're used to sermons. The guy here talks all the time. I don't do that a lot. Sometimes I do it, but not as much. The lockdown made me change a little bit more. So I need people to talk. You can shout it out from where you are. When you hear somebody's on fire for the Lord, what does it look like? Yeah. If you say it, I'll repeat it so it can be recorded. Or you want to give them one. Okay, I'll repeat it. Yes? What does it mean? On form. Yes. Okay, I need more. What does it mean to be on form, on fire? For the Lord. Full of what? The Holy Spirit. Yes, filled with the Holy Spirit. Very good. You are still giving me a lot of spiritual terms. I want it to be in natural, measurable terms. Doing the work of God. Yes, that's good. But it's still hard to measure, right? I you get what I mean. I know they are correct. Everything you're saying is correct. Filled with the Holy Spirit, on form, strong, solid, all right, and doing the work of God, all of that is correct. However, we can't measure it. If someone says, I'm doing the work of God, he may be dancing. Another one may be fighting, boxing. And say, I'm doing the work of God. How do you know if he's right or wrong? So give me more. Let's go deeper. Let's break it down a little bit more, such that it's so measurable, it's not confusing, nobody can say it's wrong. There's something there. Preaching the word of God. Someone is on fire for God is someone that is, we find him or her preaching, telling people about God. Fantastic. Yes, more? Telling people about how to enter into the kingdom of God, how to follow God. Fantastic. Good. More. Obedience to God. You find that before it makes decisions, it keeps saying, I want to follow what God tells me to do. Yes, good stuff. More. Result oriented. Which kind of results? Yes. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. The way, yes. So this person is not just doing activities, is expecting to have results, kingdom kind of result, which would be souls being saved. Very good. Very good. More? Do you have any more? I like that term, that qualifier. Unconditionally dedicated to God. Because some people may be dedicated like a yo-yo. Up and down, up and down. Like the weather in UK. Don't mind me. Just forget I said that. I don't know why I said that. Maybe because I'm just frustrated that I can't do my work sometimes. But some people are like that. Up and down, up and down. But this person is what? Unconditionally dedicated. Whether things are good or bad, they're the same. That person is on fire. More. Please give me more. If you have. Generously giving towards the things of God. Because we know people who may not know God and give. Right? But generously giving for anything that God is doing, they are involved. What can we do? They give their time, they give their money, they give their skills, expertise. Yes? Any more? Faithful. You can trust them. You can trust them. You know, when we started, we planted churches. Today I was just thinking with Pastor Ben, when he was saying 9 years, I said, you know, Pastor Ben seniors me in pastoring because I've never pastored any church for more than 5 years. The longest I've pastored a church is 5 years because our ministries are different. His calling is different from mine. My calling is the calling of planting churches. So once it's 5 years, you can be sure I'm off. we'll go plant another one. And so I was just thinking about that. And each time we plant a new church, we'll find people who come up. And I don't know why it's like that. The first set of people, they come up, they say, yeah, we are here. We are here to help you. But no, they're never there. They always go away. They're not faithful with you. And then some members, they are faithful in disappointing. Do you know? We have them in all churches. You know, I'm blessed, so I've gone to many churches and planted many churches. Some members, that's their calling. They are faithful in disappointing. In other words, you can be sure that one of these days that they say they will be there, they will not be there. You can be sure. So those are not on fire. That's not how to be on fire. When you say, let's go, brothers, and evangelize. And nobody shows up. I tell you a story about something that happened in Saskatchewan. That's a province in Canada. This pastor had been transferred into a church, and he got there, and he was so on fire for God. Him. He was on fire for God. And like my brother Gideon says, he loved to preach the gospel and share. And so he said, you know what? This church is called to preach the gospel. Let's go and preach the gospel. You know, next Saturday, he fixed the date and said, on Saturday at this time, everybody come and we will go out together. But if you feel a little bit afraid, you are not ready, you can stay home and pray. And so on Saturday, all of them, he got there ready, few hours early, was there preparing. Do you know how many people showed up? Just one. And the others all stayed at home to what? To pray. That's what they said. We don't know. They were not on fire. So he said, okay, maybe they don't know how to evangelize. So what did he do? He started an 8-week course on sharing the gospel. Guess how many people attended? All of them. Many. Good percentage of the church were there. They finished the course. 8 weeks, he was happy. And then he says, now that you've graduated, we fixed another date. This time around, come, let's go on to evangelism. But if you are confused and you are still a little bit, you can stay home and pray. How many people came this time? 2. Why? They were not on fire. You see, you can sit in church and not know Jesus. You can. You can actually be very active in church and not have the heart of Christ. The heart of the Father. You know the story of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. There was this young man that was very unruly, took his stuff and went. But there was the elder brother. He was faithful, no? He stayed home, but he didn't understand the heart of his father. And so it's possible for us to be in the church, for us to do the activities of the church, for us to give to the church, for us to say that we love our Father and not know Him. Just know a little bit about Him and get the little step into the kingdom and then stay there. And so my prayer today and what I hope that will happen at the end of this is that many of us, our eyes will be open to how much our Father loves us, will plug in and be stirred up again. And of course, if you have already been fired up before and you just discover that you are going down, you can reconnect. Amen. And for those who have never really known the Lord, I'm trusting God that you will meet Him in a new way today. Because I remember when I met the Lord Jesus, it was not the pastor, the person that preached that made the difference. It was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here right now. I remember I was 8 years old. I was in Sunday school and this young girl was sharing this gospel and she was talking about Jesus and saying that Jesus loves you. And while I was sitting right there as a young 8 year old, I got a stirring in my heart that you need to give your life and become a friend of Jesus. And she said, if you want to receive your life, receive Christ, you come forward. I went forward. Till tomorrow, I don't know if there was any other person there. The thing is, when you are having a transaction with God, you don't remember anything. You're just so full of what God has done for you and so happy that He would even accept you that I just remember that moment when I gave my heart to Him and I said, I want Jesus to be my friend. That's how I know that somebody here today, doesn't matter how old you are, you're going to have a tug in your spirit. The Lord is going to draw you in and you're going to surrender your life to Him and today will be your day. Hallelujah. And those who have been and they have drawn back, today you will be refired in the name of Jesus. Today you will be refired. I want to give you a formula, a system for which you would get refired. And so I'll borrow this Bible and use it. I'm permitted. Okay. We'll look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. What I'm going to share with you today, if you would learn it, use it, your life will be permanently transformed because God is moving. Amen. Okay, 1 John, I'm going to read from verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I'm reading the scriptures to you because I want to show you how to make sure that whenever there's a lull in your walk, there's a coolness in your life, there's something that's not well, you know the formula to get back on track. That's what I want to share from this scripture. But before we do that, I would like to ask you another question. Am I permitted? Yes? I need someone to say yes. Oh, good, good, good. Now, how do we lose the fire? How do we lose the fire? By not praying. Good. By not reading the word of God. Why? What makes us do that? Because we are lazy. Laziness. Mm-hmm. Good. Laziness. Lockdowns. Good. What else? Compromise. Another word for compromise is sin. Not so. Compromise. Yes? Not committing. Not making up our minds to do it. Yes? Yes. Priorities. Wrong priorities. Yes, Joy. Not being faithful or disciplined, the fire will go. The fire. What? Not fellowshipping with believers, the fire. That's a very good one. The fire will go. I remember when I was growing up, someone gave us an illustration. He said, somebody came and said, you know what, my spiritual life is not doing well. My spiritual life is not doing well. And the old man didn't say any word. It was winter, so they were sitting in front of a fireplace. And so he just took his that thing, the prong that he used to take the make the fire. He just took it and picked one of the coals and moved it outside the fire and put it down and waited for a few minutes. And after a while, he asked the guy, "Can you see that?" He said, "Yes, I can see." "And do you still need any answer to your question?" He says, "No, I'm okay now. I know why. Why my spiritual life is going up and down. Because I'm not connected." Yes, when we are not connected, what happens? We begin to fall away. It's not the only reason, but it's a very big reason. There's an attack. The devil tries to attack us too. But if we're staying in the connection, if we're connected, we all fight together. So it's one of the biggest reasons why we lose the fire. Another reason why we lose the fire is that we lose focus on him. We forget. Life can become so real, right? So in your face. Your bills can be so in your face. You know, sometimes I've when I was younger and we started this ministry and I had no money. But we're doing it all the same. You become so fired up in the church, but when you get home and you see your bills, you calm down a little bit. Why? Because those things can be quite real. But those were the years when God formed me, formed us as a family, to see him regardless of what we see in the reality. And so good answers to those questions, all those to prepare us for how to regain the fire. Why do we need the fire though? Why do we need the fire? Why should we have fire? What's wrong with being cold? Do you know there are many believers that they've gone to church for 10, 15, 20 years. They never made a single convert. Never won anybody to Jesus. In fact, never preached. So what's wrong with that kind of Christian? You know, sometimes, you know, some of these things we don't think about them. And so we think they are, we assume we know the answers. But there are some tough questions. These are questions that I ask myself. Look, I ask myself, look, I'm doing all this. This guy is just sitting and chilling. What's wrong? Why can't I join him and chill too? Mean no souls, run after money, buy a nice car, and just be looking good. And then when the pastor says, "I need money," I say, "Here's money." Is that not, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with just being the money, the guy that's chasing money and then bringing the money, some of it? So they don't bring a lot of it, just a little of it. Bringing a little of it to the church and making it look as if we have stuff. What's wrong with that? It's not enough? Why? Why is it not enough? Will he go to hell? Yes. They stop appreciating the value of their salvation. Yes. That's the beginning. It's not all. It goes further from there. It's just, you see, if we don't answer that question, the whole of my message, I will just say it and you people will say, he preached well. Oh, pastor, I like that sermon. Then you do nothing about it. So that's why I have to take my time. The sermon is there, but I can't preach it until I'm sure that you want it. Right? If there's no difference between a Christian on fire and the one that is not on fire, why should we want to be the one on fire? There's a big difference. The big difference is that if the demon enters here and wants to slap somebody, he will slap the one that is not on fire. Am I correct? Why will he slap that one and not slap the one on fire? Because he knows that the one on fire knows his right, knows his authority, and will discipline the devil. And no matter how strong you are or how much resources you have, life must happen to you. The enemy will try, whether you love God or not. But if you don't have the resources, the tools to resist the devil, you'll be in trouble. That's one. It's not all. Like Pastor said, the biggest problem is that you will think you are all right until one day you begin to say, someone will come and say to you, you remember all these things you read in scriptures, they are just writings. You will not know when you will say it's all right. It's true, they are just writings. How can a virgin give birth? It's true. How can Jesus come back? It's true. What has happened? He has lost his salvation. It does happen. I've seen it. I've seen people who went into the Bible school to study to become ministers come out and they are no more Christians. How does that happen? When we don't have the fire, when we lose sight of the owner of the life of Christ, that's what happens. What else is the danger of losing fire? Danger of losing fire. You trust in yourself, and as long as the things are not beyond natural, you can do well. But when you have spiritual issues, you can't handle it. You can't handle it. As long as the issue becomes bigger than you, you can't handle it. And I discover that when that kind of a person, you know, the one that knows the Lord casually, I've tried. I try to follow. I see their next generation. Those ones are worse. Their children. After he has made money or she has made a lot of money, they will now come to us, the pastors, and say, Pastor, I need you. I said, what do you need? My son. Can you please talk to him? But thank God we are pastors. You know, usually you want to say, you should have talked to him 10 years ago. 20 years ago when we were pulling chairs in the church, you should have joined us so that he can see you arranging chairs. But thank God that we are pastors, we pray with them. But the pain, the stress of knowing that your child may be going to hell is heavy. It's not a joke. When you could have done something about it by demonstrating to that child that there is a God and he is the center of my life. You know, the best way to teach our children about God is not to show them scriptures, is to live out scriptures. It's to make it real to them that there is a God that you talk to, that you listen to, and that controls and commands your life. There are more, that's not all, of the dangers of being lukewarm. dangers of being cold, God says, I will spill you out. In other words, you begin to irritate the plans of God. You hinder God's work. When a believer is cold, not cold, lukewarm, they are going cold. They do what? They hinder the work of God. That's when you see a person being serious. You now say, what is wrong with you? Why are you being fanatical about these things? What's that person doing now? It's become a tool in the hands of who? The devil. You don't know when you begin to become a hindrance to God. You begin to fight God. And that's why it's important to learn how to get back on fire. But those who have never given their lives to Christ, today is the day to do so. Now, let's go to the points I want to share with you from the scriptures. The first one is that we must agree that we have lost fire. That's the first point. You must agree that you have lost what? Fire. You must agree that this is not how it's supposed to be. This is not how it's supposed to be. I heard Paul say, there must be more. That's the way. If you are right now feeling that we are doing too much for God, you are in trouble. If all you are feeling in your mind is that the work, the thing we are doing for God is too much, you are in trouble. If you are going to ever recover, your first point must be, I know this is not where I started from. I know that there is more. When I read in scriptures, I know that there is more. For example, the story I was telling you about the guy in Saskatoon, he then started praying. He saw that, you know what, I'm not going to be able to organize the fire. I have to pray. So he got one or two elders in the church and they started praying. They prayed every Saturday. Then they brought it to the church and said, you know what, every Sunday after service, can you just wait for a few minutes for prayer? And then they started praying. And do you know that after a few months, everybody wanted to pray. So he now announced, he said, prayer is on Wednesday. If you want to come to only one meeting in this church, come to prayer. Don't come on Sunday. If you can only go to one, make it the prayer. The only reason why you should miss prayer is if you are dead. Make every effort. And you know what? The prayer meeting became the biggest meeting. That's a strange thing. Do you know that? In every church, except the ones that is on fire, the prayer meeting is always the smallest. How many people know that? Can you guess? How many people come to prayer meeting in Healing Springs Church? Let's guess. Who wants to guess? Guess out of right now, let's say 25 adults. Out of 25 adults or 50 adults, how many do you think come to prayer? Just guess. Give me a guess. Someone shout out a number. Nobody wants to shout out because they never come, right? Yes? 7, you see? 10%. That's how a church is. That's not what? On fire. Once you see only 7-10% members go to prayer meeting, what does the church need? Fire. But who is the church? You and I. You need fire. You're playing a game that you can never win when you don't connect fully to God. A game that you can never win. But take note that when I talk about people being on fire, I'm not talking about attendance to meetings. No. You can attend meetings and not be on fire. I'm talking about a passionate heart after God. And so you find that first step that, Lord, I know that this is not where I ought to be. I want to be somewhere more than this. I want to go further. That's the first step. That's the second step. Believe that you can get the fire. First step, agree that you don't have fire. Second step, believe that you can get the fire. Now, where did I get all of that from? From verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. In God, there is perfection. In God, there's always light. And so when I see that there's, I'm not full of light, then I can conclude there's something missing. When I see that I'm not operating like Jesus, I know that there's something missing. And when I compare where I am today with where I was yesterday, if where I am today is less than where I was yesterday, I have an alarm. If you look at your spiritual life and you can remember a time when you were more passionate than you are now, there is a big problem and you need to solve it today. Today, not tomorrow, right now. Amen? The next step is repent or confess. Same thing. Confess. Lord, I'm sorry. I've ignored you. Sin is in my life. But see, how do we know that sin is in their life? I've never seen a person who goes cold without sin in their life. It's weird, eh? Check your own life and see. When you were going cold, didn't you see sin there? Sin. Sin. There's always sin. And so what do you do? Will you find that sin and repent of it? Amen? Touch somebody beside you and say, find that sin. And repent of it. Yeah? There are many types of sin. Many. Ingratitude to God. Lying. Wasting of God's time. Your life, your time. It's not yours, it's for God. When you waste it, you're wasting his time. Addiction to all sorts of things. In fact, as I was praying, the Lord said to me that there's someone here, each time you go out, you find curses playing around in your mind. They are almost jumping out of your mouth. And the Lord wants to help you today. Somebody is here. You have that problem. He's going to do something about it. And the reason why is because you're listening to things that are allowing the doors to be open and enemies entering. Now, when you confess, when you repent, the next thing is make it right, make things right. So when I started working with God, I would only repent to God. So when I do something wrong, I would just say, God, I'm sorry. I would think that's all right. But when I want to move forward, I would notice that something is still wrong. I can't move forward. What do I need to do? It makes me go back and say, I'm sorry. So for example, in those days when I didn't understand a lot of this, I was very, a pastor, spiritual, and doing the work of God. And if you come to me and say, Pastor, I believe you have you prayed 3 hours today, I won't say no. Isn't that a lie? When I've not prayed 3 hours. When you come to me and say, Pastor, you guys, you spend 3 hours praying, right? I say something. You know, and then when you leave, you know what the Holy Spirit will do to me? He say, go and tell him that you didn't pray. Ha, God, why you do this? If you don't make it right, the fire can't come back. If you don't make it right, the fire can't come back. You got to do what he says. So, agree that you lost the fire. Believe that you can get back the fire because God has it. Repent. Make things right. Next one, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's how you keep the fire. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I won't explain all of that in details, but I will just mention some steps to do that. To fellowship. Okay, let me allow you to help me with that. What does it mean to fellowship with somebody, not with the Holy Spirit? We can transfer the same thing to the Holy Spirit. If I say I want to come and hang out with you, what are we going to be doing? I want to become your friend, hang out with you. What does it mean? We'll talk. Yes. What are we going to talk about? Anything. Right? Yeah. Talk. Ask you questions. You ask me questions. I tell you. You tell me. What kind of question would you ask me, though? Just guess. Just try. Let's pretend we are doing it now. How am I? Yes, I'll tell you. I'm fine. Say, how's Canada? Yeah. What else will you ask me? Maybe I choose to ask you to, how are you? What are you? Next thing you ask me, what do I do? No? Somehow it will come up. or what am I doing in Canada, or how did I get to Canada? You try to find out what's driving me. What is my big like? What do I like? If you want to be my friend, you kind of want to find out what am I up to. All right? The same. When you want to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it's exactly the same. Find out what the Holy Spirit is up to. How many people know? What's the Holy Spirit up to? Find out. Holy Spirit, what's up? What are you up to today? You know I belong to you. You can use me. I'm always available. What do you see? What are your thoughts about what's going on? This COVID thing. What do you think, Holy Spirit? You can ask him. You can talk to him like that. If you do that, you maintain the fire. You maintain the fire. I didn't always know that. In fact, there was a time when I lost my fire because I just got distracted by running my business. So running the business, and began to gradually find that, you know, when you're running the business, you start changing your values. Values will just start slipping away. Now, not like you're cheating people, but, you know, because I was fixing computers and doing all those things and giving bills. I just want to give a little bit more or tell them I'll bring it soon when I know that there's no way I'm going to finish it that day. I'll bring your computer soon, don't worry. But it's a lie. Losing fire. Sin entered. How do I restore that? I began to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I need help. I'm sorry. How can I? What are you doing? What are you doing in this business? Holy Spirit told me, your increase in life is in my work. So just leave that business. Let it go on its own. You're only going to move forward by doing the work I called you to do. Discuss with the Holy Spirit. Fire will come. Amen. Fire will come right now. I want us to practice what I just said. But before we start to pray, I want us to start to pray in a few minutes. Before we start to pray, I want to share the fact that the Lord said to me for this church that he has brought you, Healing Spring Church, is in a new season. Amen. It's in a new season and is raising up men and women who will run passionately after him. Amen. Men and women who will be passionate for him, they will be solid, they will be strong. And it's you and I. Amen. And that's what the Lord said to me. And I'm going to be praying for the church. And then I'm going to pray for those who are hungry for spiritual gifts. You want to manifest the gifts of the Spirit, I'll pray with you. And I'm going to also pray for fresh fire, a restoration. Because that scripture that I read to you says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You can't be fellowshiping with the Holy Spirit and lying and stealing and cheating. You can't. It doesn't work. The Holy Spirit will convict you all the time. But if we walk in the light, what does that mean? If we open up our hearts. So you're not supposed to be perfect, because it goes on later to say, if you say you don't have sins, you're a liar. It's not saying be perfect. It's saying be open. When you sin, confess. Confess to who? Not just to the Holy Spirit, to your brothers and sisters. Open up so that the help can come. And when you do that, it says, verse 7 again, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. You expect me to say with God, no, sir? Read that verse 7 again. Read. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship. You expect me to say with God. Because he's saying about God being light. But it doesn't say with God. It says with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses all from all sins. In other words, when we make up our minds to be open and to walk in truth with one another, we get forgiveness of sins. Jesus, the blood that was shed on the cross that brought us into the kingdom, is released to cleanse us. Hallelujah. So we're going to take the next few minutes, because I don't have much more time. We're going to use it to get some fire. Amen. Now I'm going to be praying. Maybe the choir can come and sing. I know you are the only one here now, but the musicians are here. So one singer and the musicians, it's good. You just sing Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Let's do that. Come feel this place. But when you're going to sing, come feel this place, don't think this place is this building. Think this place is your temple. All right? It's the same song, but change your what you're thinking about when you're singing the song. So when you say, come feel this place, let that place be you. And as we're singing that song, the fire of God will come and touch you. Now, before we go fully into the song, while we're singing song, but I just want to lay down this. If you have never surrendered your life to Jesus and you know that you want to, you do it today. It's not difficult. It's just to decide that, okay, today I'm going to do it. I love the Lord. I know what to do and I'm going to do it. Today is the good day to do that. I know there's somebody here that God is touching and I want you to do that today. So when we're singing that song, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You go to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I believe you went to the cross and you died for me. And that blood was shed for me. I receive that blood. And I receive that victory. And I come into the kingdom. Is that all right? Good. And then others. It starts with accepting that the fire has gone down. If the fire has gone down, say the fire is down, Lord. But I want my fire back today. Then think about the sin. It will come up immediately. The sin that you need to repent of will come up immediately. Repent, confess it, and say, Lord, I did it. I did it. But now I want a difference. I'm telling you what to do as we sing that song. Go ahead and sing. Do your business. Talk to the Lord.
God is what our hearts
do the business.
Long for. Talk to the Lord. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, worshiping. Go on. Tell the Lord that you want fire. You will receive. You will receive. You will receive. The power of God is very much present here.